This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In our previous session, we spoke about the importance of developing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, and how this love for Allah drives us, it motivates us to worship Him, such that even if Allah had never commanded us to worship Him, out of sheer love for Allah, we would still worship Him. And so what is driving us to worship Allah is not simply that Allah has commanded us to do so, but more than that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Him, and so that is why we are motivated to worship Him. But our human nature is very weak, and we tend to usually do things in return for something. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not simply commanded us to do things, and He expects us to do them without anything in return for that. And so it is because of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us to do things, and on top of that, He promised certain rewards for those who worship Him. Likewise, punishment for those who don't refrain from what Allah has forbidden. And so, it is our hope in these rewards that now pushes us even further and drives us even more to want to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and please Him. It's like someone who ventures off into a business. He says, I'm going to start this business, invest all my time in it, invest all my money in it, my effort into this business. But why? What is the driving factor? What is that driving force that pushes someone to, you know, want to invest in a business? It's nothing other than profit. This person, he expects to profit out of this business. He expects to see profit, a reward, as a result of his investment. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us those who worship Him, that they do this as a business contract between them and Allah, hoping for the profit in the form of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah says, for example, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرُجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورٌ. Surely those who recite the book of Allah and establish their salah and donate, give from what we have provided for them, secretly and publicly, they can hope for a prophet that will never fail. They can hope for a prophet that will never fail. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ, so that he will reward them in full and increase them out of his grace. Truly Allah is the all-forgiving, the most appreciative. And so it was this hope that had driven the best of generations of Islam, the generation of the Sahaba. It was this hope that had driven them to excel in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the worship of Allah. Whenever they would hear either Allah or His Messenger promising a certain reward for those who do a certain act, that would be sufficient to drive them, to motivate them, to leave everything behind. Why? Just for the sake of that reward. Obviously, besides the fact that they are driven by their love for Allah. Besides that. And so we have so many examples of this. Read the lives of the companions. And look at how when they would hear of a certain reward mentioned for a certain deed, look at their reaction. Take the example of Umayr ibn al-Humam, this great companion, who died in the Battle of Badr. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the companions on the day of Badr, saying, by him in whose hand my soul is, no one will fight on this day today and then die while persevering patiently on the path of, you know, fighting for the sake of Allah, expecting Allah's reward and not turning away, except that Allah will cause him to enter Jannah. His reward is nothing but Jannah. And so, Umayr ibn al-Humam, when he heard these words, he looked, he had some dates in his hand, and he looked at these dates, and he said, these dates are coming in between me and that promise of Allah of Jannah. He threw the dates away, and he went and he fought until he died. Take the other example, that woman who Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say to the people, to his companions, do you want to see a woman from the inhabitants of Jannah? And he pointed towards her. What was her story? She was a woman who was afflicted with a certain illness. She would have seizures. And so she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have this problem. I have these fits, these seizures. And so pray to Allah to cure me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you want, I could do that. I could pray to Allah to cure you and you will be cured. But if you want, I will pray to Allah for you to be patient. And as a reward of your patience, you will be guaranteed with Jannah. And so she had these two choices before her. But what did she choose? She chose to be patient. Why? Because of her craving for that reward of Al-Jannah. And so she said, O Messenger of Allah, then at least pray to Allah, that I don't become exposed. Because when she used to have her seizures, her hijab would come off. So she said, at least pray to Allah that I don't, you know, my hijab does not come off when I have these seizures. Due to her haya, she said this. And so, what is it that the Sahaba they had that we don't have? We hear the rewards of Jannah and the reward for this and the reward for that. And yet we are not moved like they were moved. The difference between us and them is that they believed with conviction in the reward of Allah, and thus they placed their hopes in Him. What we are lacking is this conviction. What is lacking is our iman. We hear the Quran, we hear the various ahadith mentioning the various rewards for those who do the various good deeds, the various acts of ibadah. But yet we're not moved. Why? Because of our lack of iman, our lack of yaqeen, of conviction. If we were certain, if we were 100% certain that this is the reward for those who do this, then there's no doubt that we would be driven just by that reward. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is to elevate our hope in Him. To elevate our hope in the mercy of Allah, in the forgiveness of Allah, in the acceptance of our deeds, and in His rewards. These are all things that a believer is supposed to put his hope in. And now, in the month of Ramadan, these meanings become even more emphasized. And so, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadana imanan wahtisaban, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ." Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of iman, out of conviction, out of faith and belief that, you know, this is obligatory, وَاحْتِسَابًا, and expecting the reward, hoping for the reward, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. Likewise, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stands in salah at night in the month of Ramadan out of iman and احتسابا, hoping for Allah's reward, all of his previous sins will be forgiven. ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever stands Laylatul Qadr, praying on that night, out of iman and out of ihtisab, hoping for Allah's reward, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. What is the meaning of ihtisaban that we find in all three of these ahadith? Imam al-Khattabi, who was one of the earliest commentators of Sahih al-Bukhari. He lived in the 4th century of the Hijrah. Imam al-Khattabi, he says, ihtisaban means with determination, which is to fast in the month of Ramadan out of motivation for its reward, with a good heart, not feeling burdened by your fast, nor feeling that, you know what, the days are very long and I'm getting tired. And so this is the meaning of fasting the month of Ramadan, hoping for Allah's reward. And so the Muslim worships Allah with hope. And hope is opposite to despair. Because hope, it pushes you to do actions. Whereas despair, it holds you back. And so hope is something praiseworthy, while despair is not. A person who despairs of Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, is one who says, I have too many sins. My sins are too great for Allah to forgive me. Or, I don't deserve the mercy of Allah. This is what we call despair. Al-qunut, al-ya's. This is the opposite to al-raja, which is hope for Allah's mercy, hope in Allah's forgiveness. And so a believer, no matter how many sins you have, as long as you sincerely regret your sins, and then place your hope in Allah that He will forgive you, then this is what is required. But it should be understood here that this does not mean that the believer only places his hope in Allah, in the mercy of Allah, in the forgiveness of Allah. Because that would lead him to a false kind of hope, which is that no matter what I do, I am guaranteed Allah's mercy and His forgiveness and His reward. Why? Because, you know, Allah is the all-forgiving, Allah is the all-merciful. And so this is what we call a false kind of hope. And so this is why the scholars of Islam, they say that a Muslim must balance in his worship of Allah between hope and fear. Yes, there's something called hope that we have just spoken about. But there's also something else called fear. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah's punishment. But this doesn't mean that hope is the opposite of fear. Like some people may think. They think that hope is the opposite of fear. Rather, we say that hope is the companion of fear. These two, they go hand in hand. Because just like hope, it pushes you to do actions, so does fear. The difference is only in the way in which each one pushes you. And so hope, it pushes you through what we call a raghba. You're pushed to please Allah through what Allah has promised of reward. You know, Allah mentions, this is the reward for those who do this. This is the reward for those who do this. And so you're pushed through your hope in that reward. On the other hand, fear, it pushes you to please Allah through what we call a rahbah. Allah mentioning a punishment for those who do certain things. And so, you are pushed to please Allah because of your fear for Allah's punishment. And so fear of Allah is something required. But notice how fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different than fear for anyone else. Our fear that we have for other people or other things in this life, it is a fear that makes us to flee from them. You know, you fear a lion, for example. If you're in the forest and, you know, you come across a lion or a snake, you flee, you run away. On the other hand, Our fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause us to run away from Him, but rather, it causes us to flee to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what we are fearing is actually the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we flee from the punishment of Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is because of this understanding of hope and fear that Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he explained that fear and hope are two wings of a bird. And he adds that the head of the bird is love. So your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is like the head of a bird. He is directed by his love. The Muslim is directed in this life, in whatever he does, he is driven by his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then each of the two wings of the bird, one of them is hope, the other is fear. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if these two wings are leveled and balanced, then the bird will fly and have no problems in his flight. But if one of the two wings is deficient, has a defect, then what will happen? Then the flying will become defected. The bird won't be able to fly if one of its wings is defected. And so the believer balances between hope and fear, not putting too much emphasis on one nor on the other. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His true servants in the Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَا اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَيَرُجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. Is the one who is devoutly obedient during periods of the night, prostrating and standing in salah, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of his Lord. Is one who does this like one who does not do this? So here, Allah mentions that his true servants combine يَرُجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. He fears the Akhirah and he fears the punishment of Allah in the Akhirah. وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ, while hoping for Allah's reward. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ وَيَرُجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. Allah says, even the closest to Allah of those who are invoked, meaning those who associate partners with Allah, the mushrikun, who call upon, you know, for example, the angels or Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam and the angels, these are the devout servants of Allah. Allah says, even the closest to Allah of those who are invoked would be seeking a way to their Lord, hoping for His mercy and fearing His punishment. Meaning the likes of Isa alayhi salam, who they worship, even him, even Isa alayhi salam, is actually seeking a way to Allah, trying to please Allah, trying to worship Allah through these two, by balancing these two things. يَرُجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ, hoping for His mercy, وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ, fearing His punishment. And so it is this combination of hope and fear that we find present among, once again, the best of generations, the generation of the Sahaba and those who came after them, our Salaf. And so, although they worked tirelessly, hoping in Allah's reward, they would still have this fear in their hearts for Allah. And they would also be fearing that, you know what, my ibadah has not been accepted. You can't compare our ibadah to their ibadah. And yet, even though they would hope out of their ibadah, through their ibadah, their worship, they would hope for Allah's reward. But even then, they would fear that none of their ibadah, none of their hard work would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Compare that to most of us today, where we do all kinds of acts of ibadah that don't come even near to the ibadah of the Salaf. And then we feel satisfied. Oh, I did such a great deed. We think that, you know what? That's it. My ibadah has been accepted. And so this is the meaning of balancing between hope and fear. A person who thinks, that's it, you know, I've done such a great deed, it's going to be accepted by Allah. This is a person who puts too much emphasis on the wing of hope, forgetting about fearing that, you know what, maybe my deed has not been accepted by Allah. And so the believer, he balances between these two things. And so work hard. Work hard now in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is an opportunity to work extra hard in doing acts of worship, good deeds, ibadah. And so work hard and make your aim to be the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah. And don't wait for the reward of your deeds. Don't wait or don't expect to see the reward of your deeds before you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the reward that is with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in the Akhirah, you will never find with anyone else. If you do this, then you have achieved true ubudiyah, servitude to Allah, the worship of Allah. Work hard, but keep your eyes fixed on the reward that awaits you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't wait for your reward in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you put forward for yourselves today, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that requires ikhlas, sincerity, and it requires that we devote our entire hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ibadah, and it requires that we do it according to how Allah wants us to do it, according to how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this hope that we should have in the mercy of Allah, in the forgiveness of Allah, and this hope for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to grant us that hope in our hearts so that it pushes us and it motivates us to do good and to worship Allah, such that we will find the pleasure of the ibadah in this month of Ramadan. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.